You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6, and verse 13. I might say that the series we're going to start this morning, which has to do with the signs of the time, may seem like a double dose of prophecy around here, but we've come down to a serious hour in our lifetime. And the last 6 months, I've had a lot of time to do a lot of personal study in a way that I haven't had before, to read and read and read. And I'm convinced that one or two things face every one of us in the next 2 years. Now, let me emphasize, in the next 2 years, think about that. Either one or two things are going to happen. All the doom and the gloom that we hear on the prophetic side of things from the other ministers is not a very pretty picture. And it is true that things are going to get worse and worse. They're not going to get better and better. On the other hand, there is at the end of this next 2 year strip some good news too. God is going to do something that has not happened so spectacular since the coming of Christ himself. Namely, that he's going to enlighten the human race to prepare them for the things that if they do reject it, that we read about in all the carnage of prophecy, and particularly in the book of Revelation, the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, we have two roads to take. One, we will take, which I believe is the correct road, a perfect right division of the word, so we can see where we are. The accusation against the children of Israel in the days of our Lord's flesh was they did not understand the days of his visitation. One, two, because of their traditions, they made the word of God without effect. He called them a nation of hypocrites, inasmuch as they could discern the skies. They said, when the evening is red, you know everything's lie. The evening is red, the morning is red, you have storms coming. You can discern that, but you can't discern the day in which you live. This was the accusation against the people of his day in that time. I believe we've come full circle. We're right back where we were at the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 7. After Peter had spoke to the Lord concerning the teaching that had gone on for 40 days concerning the kingdom, Peter asked the question, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Not will you restore the kingdom, but will you at this time? And Jesus said to him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. The times there is the Greek word chronology. That's time in its all its aspect. The seasons has to do with the word krinos, which has to do the appointed time, the spot time. For they're in the Father's power, that word power, exousia, which has to do with his jurisdiction. This takes us back in our thinking, clear back before the foundation of the world, before the overthrow, when all the ages were prepared, when all the dispensations of God were prepared. All of this was put in the jurisdiction of the Father, of the Godhead. Hence, Jesus in the days of his flesh said, concerning that hour, that day and hour, no man can know. We'll be dealing with that a little bit later. On the other hand, he rebuked them for not understanding the days of his visitation. It seems almost like a paradox. We'll see why. Right now, we are at that crux of time. And like the old man Simon that was in the temple, when Mary brought the baby in after 40 days of her purification, he approached her and said, this child is set for heartbreak in your life. And then he turned and he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Now I've seen your great salvation you promised me. Take me home." We're there. And so it's only those who soberly believe this. And listen, 2 years is real short. Either one of two things. We're going to enter a time of the greatest joy you've ever had in your life. Or you're going to enter a time of carnage and hell like this world has never known. And I hope by the grace of God, in these few studies ahead, Tommy's covering all these prophetic things. We're going to be dealing with the preparation. You know, before any great play can take place, and the great drama ahead is a play, boy, it's a drama out of the dramas. Before it can take place, there is a rite of preparation that must go on. And we're almost at the time for the orchestra to start playing down in the pit. It's that far along. And we're either going to have one hell of an explosion to ruin the whole thing, or we're going to have a beautiful setting and we'll sit back and enjoy it all. And I believe the latter. I believe we're going to see something happen that you can't dream about even. In any case, we can't know the day and the hour in every respect, but we're told to understand the days of our visitation. And by the grace of God, I think we can. Pray about this. Are there any other announcements? We have a new class starting down, as I understand, as well, number 2, yeah. Well, it's small numbers, but if numbers were a deciding factor, you know, we might as well quit business. But anyhow, we rejoice in the fact that God does work, and He handpicks His own, too. That's why we were chosen in Him before the overthrow of the world. Ben, if you'll come along now and read the text, please. For the great prophecy that will begin to be filled. Let me repeat that so you get straight in your mind. When we look at the prophecies in 1 and 2 Timothy, we're looking at prophecies being fulfilled. We look at the prophecies that are going to happen in the future. We're looking at the preparation of things now that will move toward those prophecies. Follow that? But right now, here is something that you can't miss. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, the difference between the latter days is referred to here and the last days in 2 Timothy. The last days of 2 Timothy is the conclusion of the latter days. But the Spirit will be prevalent in the latter days expressly. This has always been true. But notice the word expressly. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall apostatize. That means they're people who make a profession, but they turn from the Word of God. And they give heed to what? Seducing spirits. This is a little Greek word, planos. We got our English word planet from that. The powers in the heavenlies. Operate. That's why Paul tells, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all the darts of the wicked one. For we wrestle not, what? Against flesh and blood. And now notice what these seducing spirits, they're bringing the teachings of demons, not devils. There's only one devil. They're bringing to all nations, but particular to America, because America is supposedly the epitome, the criteria of the intellect of the world. And it probably is, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But in any case, whether that be true or not, the Spirit of God tells us that the spirit of the evil one is now beginning to bring something into real. And it's not a new thing, but it's something that is being pressured to the hilt by the spirit world. What are the two main features? Forbidding to marry. That means everybody's equal. We got great equality in America, you know. Women's rights, and we got the right to kill, although the Constitution says the fair purpose of government is to secure life. But we got the right to kill now because of the wisdom of this world. We got rights running out our ears. Everybody's rights are being denied, you know. And a man chooses to go out here and buy snuff and gets cancer, he wants to sue the tobacco people for giving him cancer. It reminds me of the fellow that killed his mother and father in Florida and then pleaded for mercy because he was an orphan. And, you know, that's kind of like, that's the rights we have today. And so, especially in latter times, the spirit world will begin to move. Because you don't need what's just a piece of paper anyway, and it's being proven to be true. The marriage commitment doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, it is, a marriage is not just between two people. A marriage is a contract between two of God's people and the Creator Himself. And God doesn't take these things lightly. See, people today, what they call falling into love, and pardon the crude language, but I want to drive the point home, what they're doing is falling into bed. They're not falling in love. That's why they don't last. You know, love is something you have to know people. You can like a lot of folk, but it takes time to love somebody. You see, the beauty of God's love is that when we were His enemies, He loved us. We don't do that. See? That's the kind of love God is. And only God, unless you're born of His Spirit, there's no way you can love that way. See? You can't do it. The world talks about love, but they're not talking about love like God's talking about it at all. That's what you see. And they want to do away with God's way, forbidding to marry. That's what's being whispered here. You know, if you get married, you get a husband, you have children, it hurts your career. Well, the women ought to realize that their career is to get married and have children. There are exceptions, and our Lord makes comment about there. Some people are not meant to be married. But if they are, God has a double blessing for them, too. See? And so everything is here for us. And especially in the latter times will this emphasis be placed on us. And I've seen this develop with the great emphasis it is in my short lifetime. And you know, 70, with added what I've got, is not very long, and it's not even a twinkle of an eye in eternity. See? But that's all happened in my time. Did you know, ladies? Now, I'm not insulting you, because men are worse. So what I say about you, the men are even worse. Did you know that? And when I was a boy growing up, if men had treated women like they treat them today. And the women asked for it. Don't misunderstand me there either. They would have not necessarily a Christian man. The culture in this nation was you'd got your head knocked off. You couldn't do that. It wasn't any written laws, but they were they're common, what's known as common law. See? I remember the first time I ever saw my mother put a skirt on that come almost up to her, about halfway up her leg. You mean that? I'm telling you some personal things here, and I'm not telling you just to be smart. But I remember when I was in school, in the 8th grade, there came a fad among the girls in school and they wore colored bloomers. And I got the greatest thrill in the world. Well, you see, my thinking was innocent in a sense because I didn't know. I wasn't sexually educated. You know, when you have two virgin people, a man and a woman, nobody has to tell them how to take care of their situation because it's natural. That's the natural thing with God. You don't have to be taught that. You don't have to teach a hound how to hunt. And so they forbid the real. And only in the marriage, you see, is the bed undefiled. That's why the spirit world doesn't want marriage to stand. Now, not only do they teach that, but they also teach that you got to be a vegetarian and you got to exercise to keep up your health. You know, I'd really like to see this put to a test. And we got to go get a diet now to know how to live. Of course, we'd eat like hogs and not paid any attention to what Scripture had to say. But everything God created is good. It's all good for us. Everything. Nothing. Salt's not bad for you. Sugar's not bad for you. It's good for you. But you've got to use it. Your head. Just because you happen to like sugar, you don't just sit around and eat sugar all the time. Your body needs all those things. And God has provided. It's all good. It isn't bad. God never created anything bad. That's why we've got to have all these laws. Taste not, handle not, don't you see? And in order to survive, we've got to exercise to keep strong. See? And we've got to eat just certain foods. And you know, that's a contradiction of what God tells you. Now, if you find something you can't eat, I'm a good guinea pig. I can't eat shrimp. It gives me poison. Now, doesn't it? I don't like the taste of shrimp. I do. That's the only thing I ever found I couldn't eat. It didn't eat me. And that's a shrimp. I can't eat a shrimp. Now, I'd be silly to go eat shrimp. God has given me a red light there, don't you see? I don't have to go to a doctor. No, they'll make me sick because I tried it three different times thinking I could do it. And they had to pump my stomach. So it'd poison. You know, I can't eat it. I can eat oysters. They got iodine in it like shrimp has too. But it don't bother me. I guess a different kind of iodine. See, a lot of things in this world that we don't know everything. We haven't arrived. And it tells you, real simple, that if you believe that, and you thank God for giving it to you because it is good, He says, I'll sanctify it by the Word of God. And if God sanctifies it, I'll guarantee you there's not any better food you could ever eat for your body than that. It's sanctified by the Word of God. But notice, it's a matter of belief. Believing God. And if, of course, if you overindulge in one thing, you've got to use your head a little bit. But you can find that out for yourself. Look how you react to it. See? It tells you. And not only that, but notice. And I'm trying to be a good minister about this. Notice. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. On 2020 the other night, they had a story about a hypochondriac. And you'd be amazed how many people are going to the doctor and don't need a doctor at all. And the doctors are tickled to death because they give them some little pill or something. I had an uncle one time who was a druggist. And I remember as a kid, because they always came to my grandmother's house on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I remember him laughing. He said, you know, over half the pills I give the men and women are nothing in the world but a sugar tablet. And so, and they go home and they get well. I'm not saying there's not some real sickness there are, but the real sicknesses are because you yourself ignore. Now, it's a simple thing, and I'm not telling you prescribing on how to eat, because Lord knows that nobody made a worse mess about taking care of his body than I have. But we do know this, that Solomon made it very simple. He said, just put a knife to your throat. You know, that means when you eat enough, stop. Don't just keep eating because you like food. Hogs do that, but even a hog is smarter than that. A cow will founder himself. A hog won't do that. And so we oughtn't to call them hogs. We ought to call them cows. The cow is the one in the foundering. A horse will too, but a hog won't. And a hog won't eat something that's very bad for him. You can feed him tobacco once, and he won't take it the second time. See? Now here's the things to think about, particularly when we get down now to the time of our days. Verse 13. Give attendance to reading. There's a day when you get up and you know that you need to come to the Word of God, and you say, well, I'm just so busy, I cannot do that. Well, you better take time. Give attendance to reading the book, whether you understand it or not. I'm sure you don't understand the vitamins and food that's going into your body. But the body understands. It knows how to take care of it. You're feeding your body. And you're feeding a man who's starving to death for spiritual things, and you read to him. It's going in your mouth. The time of understanding will come, but don't neglect the reading of God's Word. Now, that's another factor. Again, I point back to my childhood days. I remember this. My grandmother and my grandfather... my father died when I was not quite nine and went to live with him. And we always sit down at the book together around the table. We all read. Children learn to read. Did you know the average child when I was growing up knew how to read before you went to school? Where do you think you learned how to read? Around the tables. Give attendance to reading. You see, that seems like a little thing, but it's not a little thing. If God put it in a book for you, you better believe it's not a little thing. You're just too busy. And most people in this world are too busy. You get too busy. When you're too busy, you're too busy. If you don't, the laws of sowing and reaping are there, beloved. And I'm a living testimony of that fact. And so you get it, you catch up with you. And they work. God, no respecter person. You deny, you ignore his natural laws, and you pay the piper. You just can't do it. Give attention to reading. Exhortation. I'm exhorting you this morning. You give attention to it. And lastly, the teaching. If you don't like my teaching, go somewhere else. See, that's the thing. If you like it, pray for me. It's that simple. I've had the privilege of being the minister of Christ at the Northside Bible Church, and I do appreciate it. But you have to learn to love the teaching. Because we don't have any... I told you about a young fellow that reminds me. I got to send a book to him, and I forgot to do it. You have a... About 2 weeks ago, I ran into a fellow over having lunch. And he's a young lawyer. He just left the First Methodist Church. because he didn't like some of the things the preacher was teaching. That's what he ought to do. If you don't like it, move along. You'll some find where you can. And he asked about our place, and I told him. He said, well, don't you have any young people program? I said, well, the only program we have is studying the Word of God. But if you want social programs, we don't have it, so you won't feel at home here. But I'm going to send you some books anyhow to read and see if you like it. You might like to come out and study with us. He's a young lawyer named Green. I could have said, sure, well, come on out. We'll organize something for you. We're not in that business. There's plenty of places that's what they're building on. We're not. But if you love the Word of God, you see, that's what's really counting today. That's what's going to count in the days ahead, because this produces to those who are exercised by it. Now, if you're not exercised by it, then you're waste. It's a lot of waste to get involved in things if you're not going to be exercised by it. See? Because none of the child, and all this is child training, is what it is. If you're not exercised by it, it has no profit. In other words, when the children of Israel came out of captivity, and they were thrilled to be back home, you know. And what really happened was, it says they loved to come and hear about what God did and bringing them out of captivity, what God had done for them. But it was like a sweet song. When it was over, they went their way, didn't do anything about it. Then they're exercised by it. Reap rewards. Not that you can see in this world particularly, but with the Lord. And that's what's really going to count in eternity, not down here. That's why our affection should be on those things, not down here. So whatever you're going to do in the next 2 years, and I stress that, and you'll see why before we get through these series. You put us, not because I said so, and if God doesn't exercise you to do it, don't do it. But if you feel convicted that you need to consider that everything your movement is toward your affections on those things above, then you'll be involved in daily concourse here, but you'll never become entangled. Because once you become entangled, you get busy then, you know. You're busy this, you get busy that. Like the old boy went to the Mayfair donut shop. Keep your eye on the donut, not on the hole. That's the way. Well, it's past 12 o'clock. We didn't get very far. But I think you can see the direction I want to move, because we're going to be dealing with things that you can see and understand. We're to understand what? The signs of our time, the days of His visitation. And in my time, the things I've been talking to you about this morning have all developed to the degree that we see them today. Two things keep in mind. The turning away from the legality of marriage and the insistence upon preparation, everything for the body. We're to be full-orb people, not centered in one thing, but we got a body, we got a soul, and we got a spirit. And all of them need to be exercised to the glory of God. But if you concentrate on one thing, that's all you'll develop. And you'll be out of balance. And you won't enjoy what God has for you. He has the best for you. And you want to make shortcuts and do it your way. Remember, it's He who works in you both to will and to do, notice, of His good pleasure, not yours. The good pleasure for you will come later. Father, thank you again for the word and for this time of exhortation. And may the Holy Spirit now do His office work in our hearts, beginning with me, that I and we might be exercised to Your purposes. And we want to thank You for attending these things, because we ask His graces here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen. His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.